Everyone, Chelsea E. Manning.
All right, that was our guest, Lisa Rhine, reading out a statement from Chelsea Manning, which she sent to Lisa for Aaron Swartz Day 2015. You can find more of that audio and video at aaronswartzday.org. That's AAronSwartzday.org. Videos and audio from Aaron Swartz Day 2015, 2014, and 2013 are all available at that website. Aaron Swartz Day is always November 7th and 8th. That brings us up to the end of the hour. The clock has beaten us once again. You're listening to Political Perspectives on KBOO Radio. That's KBOO.FM on the web, 90.7 FM on the radio dial. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh, and my guest is Lisa Rhine, the journalist, filmmaker, and electronic freedom advocate. Lisa, thank you so very much for all your work and all your time.
Thanks so much, Doug. Bye, everybody.
And stay tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Steven Zunis is one of her guests today. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, there's an international investigation into the U.S. NATO bombing of a hospital in Afghanistan. And then we got the Dirtbag. It's all about bees today. That's at 11 o'clock. And here we go with Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning into KBOO today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, December 9th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. I want to thank everyone who called in during our winter membership drive. Wow, don't you think that was different? So many things are changing here at KBOO, and it's because of your support. We have extraordinary new leadership that has electrified the community and has brought us together in ways that are causing ripple effects throughout the greater, I would say, Portland area, certainly our listening area, and indeed around the world. We have people listening to KBOO around the world right now. And why? It's because we are covering the issues of the day in ways that are not available in other media outlets. And that's membership. The membership makes that happen. Thank you, everyone. Today we have Corey Saylor. He's the director of the Department to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia at the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. He will try to be able to join us today. He's a busy man right now, as you can imagine, confronting Islamophobia in America is pretty much a full-time job with the likes of Donald Trump, who himself is an insignificant bottom crawler. However, he has a great many followers who probably have no idea what else to do with their time and their lives, and they have no direction for the rage that is building up, because they are uneducated. They have no idea what is causing the stories that they see emerging from the Middle East. They have no idea. So they turn to the likes of Donald Trump, and then they focus their hatred on American Muslims here in the United States and indeed around the world. That said, we have Corey Saylor here to work on that problem and take us through it. And we also will be joined by Steven Zunis. He's a frequent contributor. He's a frequent guest on Cascadia. He writes in The Progressive. He's a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco. And he's also the coordinator of the program in Middle Eastern Studies. He's one of the country's leading scholars of U.S. Middle East policy. And he'll be talking today about about Obama's escalation in Syria. And if you think it's just starting, look back just a month to November 8th. He had an article in The Progressive talking about exactly that. And indeed, in that article, much of what we see today is hinted at right there. So we'll be speaking with Stephen in just a moment right now. However, CIA whistleblower Jeffrey Sterling, been in prison now for 6 months, and support groups are working to get him out. Almost 2 weeks ago, his wife released a letter to the president asking him to pardon Jeffrey. There was no response from the White House. He is in prison for communicating with a journalist. That's all. That's it. All he did was talk to a journalist. This in the land of the free. And from Just Foreign Policy, as part of the diplomatic process to end the Syrian civil war, Saudi Arabia is hosting a meeting of Syrian opposition groups that is supposed to select representatives for talks with the Syrian government on a transition government. The fact that the meeting is happening is a positive development. But wait a minute, the main Syrian Kurdish group that has been fighting alongside the U.S. against ISIS has been excluded from the Saudi-hosted meeting. Apparently, this on the insistence of Turkey. That's going to be a tough one to crack. And in Oregon City, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office is joining an FBI-led anti-terrorism. Yep, that's right. They've gone and done it. They have hooked up with the FBI on their anti-terrorism task force. This is kind of a disturbing development, but certainly it's predictable in light of current events and people's lack of understanding and their desperation to look around and find a target to on which to project the hatred and the confusion that is broiling amongst, well, let's call it just that, what it is. It's the rabble. It really is the pitchfork-wielding multitudes. The Oregon Department of Transportation has paid $1.45 million to Portland City Commissioner Amanda Fritz for the death of her husband in a car crash. It's a very tragic event a while back. Money really in no way addresses the sorrow and the underlying issues. A federal judge in Nevada yesterday refused to temporarily block new U.S. rules intended to protect the sage grass. And Seattle charter schools going down in flames, as we knew that they would. According to the No Red in Africa Network, red and all its variants are unjust mechanisms designed to usher in a new phase of colonization. Yes, indeed. There's some privatization going on in Paris at the COP21 talks, to no one's great surprise. Why else would there be huge multinational corporations there and their lobbyists? We'll be talking with about that a little bit later. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Dr. Stephen Zunis to KBOO once again. Welcome back, Stephen.
Good to be with you.
It's great to talk to you again. Back there, you had a piece in The Progressive back in November, way back in November, and it was Obama's escalation in Syria. Now, when massive escalation on all sides is back on the table, we see what the disastrous effects were. With the first go around, the first time Obama says, well, we're going to be escalating forces against ISIS in Syria. And now, it seems that wasn't very long for people to seem to have suffered a blackout on this. We not only don't learn from history, we don't even learn from newspapers. I mean, really. Well, in Syria, The notion that sending in more forces, French, American, mm-hmm. possibly German, we know that is not the solution to the problem, and yet that seems to be all that they know how to do. Why haven't other solutions been seriously considered here?
Kind of like the old saying, if the only thing in your toolkit is a hammer, pretty soon everything starts looking like a nail. So in the sense, if your foreign policy is so based on military solutions, it's hard to see anything but military solutions to complicated problems. Now, to be honest, I mean, when I think about U.S. foreign policy choices in recent years, and people say, what can we do? The answer would be the answer is all the conflict or whatever. The answer is pretty obvious. Get out of Vietnam. Stop supporting the Contras. Stop supporting the Salvadoran junta. Put sanctions on apartheid South Africa. And stop supporting Indonesia's occupation of East Timor. I mean, it was there are a lot of things that are really clear. Yet Syria is a mess. It is a god-awful mess. And I'll be quite honest that I don't know what the best answer is. And I don't know of anybody who does. At the same time, this idea of militarizing the situation further really just seems like pouring gasoline on the fire. Remember that ISIS is an Iraqi-led organization. The political and military leadership is overwhelmingly Iraqi. These were people who were radicalized as a direct consequence of the U.S. invasion and occupation of that country. If there had not been a U.S. invasion of Iraq, there would not be an ISIS. There would not have been the Paris attacks. There may not have even been the San Bernardino attacks. So the idea that what do we do with this monster we helped create? Oh, let's intervene in the Middle East some more.
We know that's the one thing that doesn't accomplish anything except San Bernardino.
These guys really are scary. I mean, these guys really are bad news. I can't rule out in certain exceptional circumstances, if there's actual intelligence of a terrorist plot or whatever, certain kind of, limited paramilitary operations or whatever. But this idea that somehow bombing Syrian cities is going to make us safer is ridiculous. These horrific attacks like in Paris. I mean, these are designed, to provoke a reaction, to play right into the hands of the Islamic State. They're not doing well in the areas they control. Millions of people are fleeing their areas, denying them the needed economic and human resources they need to build their so-called caliphate. So the irony of rejecting refugees, is that, the less welcome people feel to flee, the less they will flee, and the more they'll be there to work for ISIS and, to fund ISIS through taxation and extortion. We want to encourage people to get out of there, to deny ISIS of its human and financial support. If we end up in rejecting refugees and bombing their cities, these guys really do use human shields. These guys really do deliberately put their operations in crowded urban areas. They're responsible for more civilian deaths than the bombing. They will use every civilian death to their advantage, and it'll just kind of reinforce the thing they're trying to play, that the United States and other Western powers are up to their own old imperialist machinations, and they are there defending, the Islamic world, from these infidels and imperialists and whatever. And you don't have to be a wacko supporter of a wacko Islamist inspired cult, be upset at the history of Western intervention in the Middle East. In Syria, you can still see the Crusader castles from the 12th century. we don't want to do anything that is going to feed their narrative and strengthen them. Whatever temporary tactical advantage military intervention may bring will be more than made up for, I believe, in a longer term strategic political losses. And the strengthening of this kind of dangerous extremism.
again, the basic question: why the U.S. suddenly decides that Bashar al-Assad has to go? Why? He's a tyrant. They have very different political systems. It takes a long time to evolve anything that looks remotely like democracy. And in any case, democracy is not going to look the same in the Middle East as it does here. Assad, there are a lot better solutions back then. Now, of course, it's such a mess. There's no way out.
Bush administration had a regime change in Syria, high on their list of priorities. The Syria Accountability Act that was supported by both Republicans and Democrats. I mean, that was, I believe, was the underlying basis of that initiative. That was back in 2004. Hillary Clinton was among the big supporters of that, among others. When Obama came in, I think he was more reticent. I mean, he realized that as awful as Assad was, he was something of a force of stability. To my knowledge, there was no active support for.
We've got 15 seconds left, so.
Yeah,
so
but the
this
2011
final...
uprising was a genuine, spontaneous operation. But I think the fact that the U.S. hasn't intervened militarily, aside with some of the armed groups, it's created a very complex situation. Unfortunately, though I'd love to see Assad go, I'd love to see him on trial in The Hague. Unfortunately, he does have a social base, and he probably needs to be included in any kind of at least a temporary resolution that is necessary to stop the fighting and killing and suffering.
Thank you so much for that, Stephen. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you again. My guest has been Dr. Stephen Zunis, Professor of Politics and International Studies at USF. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, December 9th. Tammy Dean engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. And thank you, everyone who joined in the winter membership drive.